Om Shanti. So the power that I'm going to talk about today is the power of discrimination. And actually the word discrimination is a bit of loaded or with some negative connotation. So I feel more comfortable to call it power of discernment, because we have some experiences generally having experienced some discrimination, perhaps. So I thought about this power, and it is an ability that the soul has to see and perceive and understand. And actually, we use this ability every moment, actually, because we have to make choice every moment of our awake time throughout the day. And to make choice, we have to discern. So we use it all the time, and if we really think about it, maybe when we were perfect in the Golden Age, we actually don't have to use it as a power, but we naturally discern things, and you know, the ability to see and perceive and understand comes naturally, and all our thoughts, words, and actions are aligned with truth in that the age of truth. But then we gradually lose that connection with our inner self, and then as we come into the Copper Age, we begin to separate things as we experience separation, you know, from our own self. So we see things of different aspects. So then we have to make choices, because we separate and we see different aspects of the reality. So then we classify things into different categories, maybe. I think every moment we do that, actually, consciously or, you know, we may not be aware of it. And then as we put people, things, or situation into different categories, and there are preferences, and you know, we put different values to different things. So then discrimination comes. So that's why I try to avoid the word discrimination. So at the end of the cycle, we have developed such a intricate, or so many different layers, and the boxes that we put different things so that we can perceive and understand and discern things. So now as we have Baba with us, we go back to that original state of total alignment with truth. So that's the journey that we are on. And when we discern, so actually we see, perceive, and understand. And what I feel is that we use the intellect to discern things. And it's like an eye. We call it even, you know, the third eye, or eye of the intellect, or mind's eye. So eye is actually to see things. And but when we try to see things accurately or the true reality, it's not easy, because the reality or the physical reality is far from truth, actually. A lot of things are not true, truthful. And also, within ourselves, the soul has certain things that would cloud the intellect from seeing the reality with clarity. So, you know, the things that might make the intellect cloudy, all the vices actually and impurities, and, you know, when we have attachment, when we have greed, actually it starts with any desire. Then the intellect cannot see the reality as it is. So not even not only that, but with all the vices actually, anger and some dependence, including some addiction. Actually, we are addicted to so many things, and when we depend on things, we cannot be really objective in seeing the reality. So, part of the journey is to really clear these impurities in the soul, so that our intellect can become more divine, so that ultimately we can, whatever we think, say, or do, it can be totally in alignment with the original truth of the soul. So, how we can develop this power, and what to discern? Yeah? So, to go back to the original truth of the soul, we can call it in different ways. We reach our destination, we go to our perfection, many different ways. It's actually the same thing, I think. When we make that effort, we discern what is true and what is false, and what is beneficial for me and what is not beneficial. And actually, if you think about all the, you know, like classification that we made so far, over thousands of years, we developed very intricate layers of criteria to make that clarification in our own way. And philosophers and teachers, you know, they also suggested many different criteria. But now, you know, what to discern? Actually, when Baba comes and when we are with Baba, he sees things maybe in two ways. One is what is eternal, and the other is what is temporary. So by that standard, I think we can see the reality and make the choice to bring the most benefit to ourselves. That is the way to reach our destination. So then, how to work on this power of discernment? Initially, when we were totally aligned with our truth, we don't really have to use this ability as a power. It just naturally happens. What we see, what we, you know, everything's so clear. So we have that clarity, and there's, we don't need to think twice. We just, what we see, we just say or do if needed, and maybe we don't need to say or do very much at that time. But now we have to develop it as a power until we go back to that original state of everything just happening naturally. And we don't really have to use the energy, extra energy to discern. So I think how we do that, I think actually the four subjects, but all these powers are connected with each other. And I think to use the power of discernment, we really need to have the use the power of withdrawal, so power of introspection. So that's using the power of silence. And the other part is using Baba's Gyan to get that clarity, to see very clearly and accurately as things as they are. So the two aspects are the main ones, but as we study the four subjects, I think all the subjects are actually helping to have that clarity in our discernment. So in terms of Gyan, of course, we know that we are soul, and we know that what is our original state. So, you know, in our original state, we are in power. So we naturally are in our purity, peace, love, and happiness. So, knowing that, we, you know, things or the people that appears to me not consistent with that, we can discern by using that part of Gyan. And also using the knowledge of the drama. So it's it's having that clarity again, because by using the knowledge of the drama, we can become very detached. We can separate what is happening around, and what, I mean, even separate my own doing and see it in an objective way. So Gyan is the first one, and the yoga, of course, is to have the power of that clarity and the ability to really separate when things come up and to be in my original state. And then dharana, I feel that and having knowledge is one thing, but actually, when we make choices, what we do is related to dharana. And I think we are, as we do this study, we are a kind of work in progress. So dharana is like really continually improving our being, the way we are, and align ourselves with the ultimate state that we want to achieve, so the destination that we want to reach. So in that, I see dharana in that way. And then seva, service. I think service gives us the opportunity to see ourselves and and give us the opportunity to really make the adjustments to bring us back to our destination. So these were the things that I reflected on, the power of discernment. And personally, I've experienced this power more difficult than others, because we are the external reality that we are in is very far from truth, and even within myself, I'm working on things that comes up from the old world. So it takes time, I think. So that's some of the things that I reflected on, the power of discernment. So when I think it gets more difficult when my desires and the things come up within me to make confuse me, or to make things look more cloudy, to cloud the intellect. So at that time, using gyan is the way. It takes time, and it's so it will require continuous practice. To get the clarity of the understanding, we rely on gyan points. And so it's the ability to discern is built over a period of time, and maybe a long period of time, and maybe until we reach a point when we don't have to use it as a power. We naturally discern the moment we see the situation or the person try to confuse. I have to be in my truth, and so what can we do? People can do anything and everything. So the way for me to go is to keep my stage, so to face the situation with the power and discern how to respond to different situations. Yeah, with more clarity, I would think that is the way. Yeah?
Tell something about yourself, how you came in gyan.
I came in gyan. I invited myself to a retreat. That retreat is not held annually. It was in 1998. There was a retreat on the spirituality of the 21st century or something like that. I came into contact with the center in Canada. I knew about Brahma Kumaris, but I didn't know anything about Brahma Kumaris. But there were some lucky work that I was going to do in India. So then I thought of this organization called Brahma Kumaris. So I contacted a local center in Vancouver, and you know, asked about the programs in India. So I didn't know anything about what the teachings are here, but I just wanted to visit because I heard about this university when I was in Korea, and I actually moved to Canada. So, and they say that there is a retreat in February, which is very rare. So I had myself invited to the retreat and attended the program. And, you know, I appreciated everything of the program. But the one determination or decision I had was there is something here, something unique that I really have to explore more. So that's how I got connected with Brahma Kumaris programs. So after I went back to Canada, I started the Rasa Yoga course. That's how I came into Gyan. Because the experience that I had was something really that touched deeply in my heart. And I really felt that there is truth here. And that's how I started back in Canada, and now I'm in Korea. So, I look after the centers in Korea, and actually my lucky job is a translator. We call it interpreter. So. I came to India to work as an interpreter for some Lokic work, for actually some energy-related program. And then I think it's drama is accurate. And I had to come to Canada to get introduced to Baba, because I was naturally more open to spirituality and truth, because it's hard to open your heart to just anything, but naturally I was more open. Having moved to Canada at that time, now I'm back in Korea. So, in Korea, we have two centers: the main center in Seoul, the capital, and another center in Busan. And there is a third place, Daegu, where service is starting, and there are some BKs there. And there are a few other places where service classes are happening. So that's how things are. No. Yeah. So everything has to be translated back and forth. So, So I had the fortune of playing the role as a translator for Baba's knowledge. So, anyway, thank you for this opportunity to share. Om Shanti.